Brookside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, January 8th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Developing a Vision.
Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What does it mean to develop a vision? Let me give you some statements tonight. I'm not going to take very long. We've already had, of course, some slides and all sorts of other things. But I want you to think about some things tonight about developing a vision. Statement number one, everyone should have a vision in their life. Everyone ought to have a dream of what God could do. Robert Browning, the poet, said this. He said, a man's reach should extend his grasp. Listen to it now. Of what heaven is for. And so it's important that we understand what is it to be able to reach? What is it to be able to grasp? Oxford said this, a dream is something that you think of and then you are able to accomplish it because it's greatly desired. Webster said this, consider the possibilities. A vision is something that is a mental view, if you would. It's something that you have inside of your heart. It's something that is placed deeply inside of you, and you decide that you're going to step out and you're going to try to do it, and it doesn't matter what humanity says, because God is the one that gives you that vision. A synonym for that would be a plan. It would be to consider the possibilities. It would be something that you imagine, if you will, that God could do. God is the one that ought to be able to place a vision inside of each and every one of us. And God has things that he wants you to do. And don't let anybody sell you short because they don't believe that you can do what God wants you to do. The vision that God gives you is a vision that God says it's you and me together. It's you and me together that's going to go. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And so you have to decide that you're going to have a vision inside of your life. And that vision is something that is it's a covenant between you and God many times. Others won't understand you. Others might not even believe you. But it's that vision that God places deep down inside of you. And you know what God wants you to do. And you know exactly how God wants you to do it. And by the way, when you know it's something that God wants you to do, I'll be honest with you. I've been there many times in my life, and it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter if you've got a lot of people on your side and a lot of people for you, or if you don't have anybody for you. When you know what God wants you to do, then you step out and do what God wants you to do. Now, everybody needs to have a dream. Everybody needs to have a vision as to what God can do in your life. Statement number one. Statement number two, then that dream ought to be applied. That dream ought to be applied. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay, so you can sit around and you can have a vision. You can sit around and you can have a dream. You can imagine that God could use you as a missionary on a foreign field. But if you never go, you'll never see that dream come to pass. You can imagine that one day you'll be a teacher somewhere. One day you'll be working in another field, maybe a field of being a Christian dentist or a Christian lawyer or somebody of that caliber, and how you could step out and do what God wants you to do and be able to use what God has given you, and don't step apart and don't step away from Christianity, but you be that person that God wants you to be. Now, wait a minute. It is so very important that we understand that a vision needs to be applied. It needs to be applied. When God gives you a vision, when God gives you a dream, then you step out. And by the way, did you know that God has used, I think of the layman that's in our church. I think of Brother Stead, that Brother Stead doesn't come up here and work at the church 24 hours a day. We don't see him up here doing that. But I'll tell you what, there's a consecrated man right there that's a soul winner, goes out on a bus route, works all day long. Brother Cavanaugh, all day long. You think about Brother Czar, of course, working out there, working on those buses, mechanically fixing those buses up. And you think, and I can name name after name after name, and if I start and I leave your name out, you're going to get offended, so I'm going to stop right there. But there's men inside of this church, and there's ladies inside of this church that you work a full-time job somewhere, and what takes place is you decide, instead of laying up on a weekend, that what you're going to do is on Saturday, you're going to go out and you're going to visit some people that's less fortunate than yourself, and you're going to go knock on a door, and you're going to care for people that has less than you do. And you're going to spread, if you would please, yourself out and try and help some people. You know what that is? That's a person that's unselfish. You know what that is? That's a person that is giving of themselves. That's a person that, are you listening to me? When all of a sudden one of these men goes home to be with the Lord, do you realize there's going to be all sorts of people that attend a funeral? It would be a sad, sad thing that all of a sudden somebody goes home to be with the Lord and nobody shows up at a funeral. But if God uses you and you give yourself to the Lord, you'd be amazed at how many people that could be reached and how many people that could be helped. And so a vision, you think about a vision, but that vision needs to be something that you utilize in your life to be able to help somebody else. You utilize the vision that God, you know, don't leave God out of the picture. God wants to use you and God wants to help you and God wants to be able to work through you. But you cannot do that if you live and you die to yourself. Statement number three, you think about this. The Bible says over in the book of Acts chapter 2 and in verse 17, the Bible says, it says that the young men shall see visions. Now what is that? That's the future. So the young men are looking for future. They're seeing visions. You get around a young person, you get around a young preacher, you get around a young Christian, you get around somebody that is a little bit younger than you are, and you'll be amazed at their energy. You'll be amazed at how they want to do and how they want to go and how they want to accomplish and how they want to be able to grab something and do it greatly for God. Well, the Bible says that the young men shall, they're going to look at visions. They're going to see visions. That's the future. But listen to what it says about the older men. The Bible says, and the old men shall dream dreams. Are you ever around somebody and all they do is talk about the past? Well, I did this, and I did this, and I accomplished this, and I did this. Well, you know, I thank God for everything that you did, but let me ask you something. What are you doing now? You know, people is not going to remember you for all the things you did. They're going to remember you by the way that you did and was doing at the time of your death. I remember Dr. Robertson, and Dr. Robertson went home to be with the Lord, but he went home to be with the Lord while serving. You think about other men of God, great men of God, Dr. Hiles and other great men of God, Dr. Tom Malone, and I'm talking about preachers now in that category, but businessmen too, and people that have served God and faithfully, what are they going to say about you when you die? It would be so very important for us to understand that as we ought to be young in that spirit and always looking for dreams, always looking, and don't let anybody step on your dreams, don't do that. And you as an adult, don't be a dream stepper. Don't step on somebody else and smother that dream. Oh, if your child comes home one day and says, wow, I want you to know something, Mom. I want you to know something, Dad. I passed out a gospel track. You make a big deal of that. You pat them on the back and you say, boy, I'm so proud of you. You emphasize spiritual things in their life. Why? What you emphasize is what they're going to be desirous to become. And so when somebody steps out and they're accomplishing, so you say, but all that's not important. Well, it might not be important to you, but for a child to get up enough boldness to just to give somebody a track, that's a big thing. You know, for somebody, a child to say, boy, I'd sure like to sing in a children's choir. Would that be okay? You know, when they're wanting to do something that's spiritual, don't hold them back. Do we understand that we're talking about God, the creator God that puts inside each and every one of us a desire to fellowship with him. Inside of each and every one of us a desire to please him, a desire to obey him. And you know as well as I know, if you would be honest with God tonight and honest with yourself, that when you get under teaching and you get under preaching, many, many times God will speak to you about something and you put it on the back burner and you say, well, I'll take care of it later. But God doesn't want you to take care of it later if he spoke to you now. What happens is when you go home and you put it on the back burner, you forget about it. Other things occupy your mind, occupy your time, and before you know it, you have forgotten totally about what God has tried to do in your life. So what do? We be a person, if you will. We be that individual, if you will. We are to be that individual that decides that we're going to dream. Let God give you some dreams in your life. But they'll all put those dreams out there on the shelf someplace. You capture those dreams. You decide to go forward and to accomplish those dreams. You decide that you're going to be young in your spirit and see the future and what God could do. Don't always just keep looking back at the past. I've been preaching for 30 years. 30 years. In my 30 years of preaching, I can look back and tell you that, you know, the crowds I preached to was 50 in number to over 15,000 in attendance. And I can look at that and I could sit there and say, whoa, that was great. But I'll tell you what, I can't live there. I can't abide there. I have to go forward and accomplish things for God today. I have to keep my life organized and in the right order today to be able to accomplish things for God. I'm saying statement number three, those young men, they saw visions, they saw the future, they had some dreams. And the older men, all they did, many of them, is they just kind of sat back and they just talked about the past and talked about the past and talked about the past. Hey, listen, the past is the past. Let's be busy serving God with the energies that we have now. Oh, listen, the Bible talks about how Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 21, he said, for me to live is Christ. His whole purpose to live is Christ. He didn't say for that which I have lived is Christ. He said this very present moment for me to live is Christ. He was keeping Christ in the center of his life all the way. The Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 4 and in verse 18, the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope. So there were some people that had those that said that I just don't know if it could happen. And this one, Paul said, against that which was hope, I still had hope. Amen. You know, sometimes you just have to get alone with God. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, the Bible says, I die daily. He died daily to those things that would hold him back. It was like, if you would please, cutting off the straps every single day that would hold a person back so that they could propel forward, so that they could go forward and accomplish things for God. So have a dream for your life and keep that dream. Statement number five, think about this. There are three different definitions of dreams. Let me give them to you. They're kind of personal. There's the vision of a bridge to walk from the past to the future. That would be a personal definition of a dream. The vision to be able to walk across a bridge from the past to the future. Now, I did not know when I became the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church all that the future would entail. I didn't know that. But I knew this, that was the will of God. And so what I did is I got on my bridge and I walked away from everything that was here. And I made that a part of my past. And I walked over to embrace the future. And we're always supposed to be walking forward to embrace those things. Another definition that would be kind of personal would be this. The vision is the eye of faith. Listen to it now. To see the invisible. The vision is the eye of faith to see the invisible. To see what God himself can do. You know, it's amazing how we will do this. We'll say, well, if I can see it and logically figure it out and put it down on paper, then I'll step out, reasonably understand it, and I'll try to do it. Whatever happened to the just shall live by faith? Many, many times the Christian finds himself in his own little comfortable surroundings. But what makes you think about God when he says about stepping out by faith? Isn't it something how we always migrate back to our own comfort zone? Somebody steps out by faith to come to Bible college, but then all of a sudden, maybe things get a little bit tight, and the money gets a little bit tight, and the schedule gets a little bit tight, and before you know it, they kind of migrate back to a comfort zone. Somebody steps out to be a Sunday school teacher, and yet it's a little bit more than what they thought, you know, because they was a special guest in a Sunday school class. And the one time that they were a special guest in a Sunday school class, the Sunday school teacher that was present had everybody stand, everybody give them a big round of applause as they walked in, and accolades of praise was laid down at their feet. And there was all sorts of gestures of appreciation that was given onto them. And then that's all they remember. But then when they get in there, they become a Sunday school teacher themselves. All of a sudden, the accolades of praise disappear. And then it becomes just good old-fashioned hard work. Are you listening to me? I'm saying tonight that when there is a vision, you have to keep that vision alive. Another definition of a vision tonight is a vision is painting a portrait of what could be, not what exists. A portrait of what could be. Not what exists. Now, I don't know about you, but I do a lot of due diligence. And I tell people before you buy a house or make an investment, you be sure that you do your due diligence. People hear me say that all the time. You be sure that you do your due diligence. When I was an evangelist, I started getting involved in real estate, and we purchased some property down in the Mississippi area. And I promise you, some of the stuff that we started to buy, I did some due diligence. That was hard-earned money. Hello. And we did due diligence. When Jonathan started liking Heather, I did my due diligence. You know, I wanted, and I wasn't going to tell him who to marry, but I sure felt like I had a right to tell him who not to marry. So I asked some questions to the parents and wanted to find out, as Mrs. Wells and I met with the parents and wanted to find out, you know, what is this girl all about? Because I could certainly send up a warning flare if it wasn't right. And just to be honest with you, I had not had to send up a warning flare. Well, amen. Son, you better say amen. Now watch this, if you will. And so there's the definitions of a vision. Statement number six, let me help you a little bit here. There are those that are closed-minded about what others see. Here's an interesting verse in your Bible. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and in verse 9, the Bible says, let's go to the seer. Now listen why. He says, for it is he now called the prophet was before called a seer. All right, so here's what he said. He said, let's go to a person that sees it farther than you see it. You don't want to find out? A person that walks close to God many times will see things before other people see things. A person spending time walking with God and they're going deep with God and they're obeying God, they see things in your life that you yourself cannot see. Did you know many times a person that walks with God in a deep fashion, that person God will show things to first before he shows them to other people? Did you know that many, many times God will show them the most while other people only see a little? Boy, when God started speaking to me about overseas and the ministries and stuff like that, I saw what God could do. I saw the big conferences. I saw the thousands of pastors that could be trained. I saw the full picture. But those that traveled with me would say, well, you really think that many's going to come? And I'll be honest with you, I got so tired of hearing that from some of the guys that it became a personal annoyance. Because I felt like that they had a lack of faith. I felt like that they were not just seeing the big picture and seeing what God could do. And I knew what God could do. You know, when I came to Parkside Baptist Church, you know, and I walked inside this auditorium, and I looked at this, and I thought, wow, you know, this is really a little auditorium. I mean, I thank God for the balcony, and I thank God for the pews and stuff like that, but compared to the Metroplex area, you know, you give us 5 years or so, where are you going to put the bodies? I mean, you know, it's going to be, what are you going to do with the bodies? And I'm thinking, you know, 5 years, this thing should be packed up on a Sunday morning, and it's going to be packed out up there, and it's coming. And we're not even at the five-year tender yet. Now, what's going to happen when this thing packs up? What do you do now? Where do you put them now? Hey, you put windows in the outside and say, okay, let's put some chairs like in the Philippines. And you put chairs along the outside there and say, well, if you're late, you got to sit outside. Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to start running two services, an early bird service that Brother Allen to preach? I'm not coming. And then a regular service? I can't, if you could just see what's in my heart. I can see it. I can see it just as pure as it is. The sun coming up on a morning. I can just see it. I know it's going to happen. There's going to be that day when that is filled and that is filled and that is filled and that is filled. And we're packing out this thing right here. And when we come and we say, okay, fellas, what do we do? And we're reaching so many people for the Lord. By the way, did you know that people like to come to a place where things are happening? You know, and you say, well, we've not grown that much. But, you know, if you grow 100, 200, 250, 275 people inside of 2 years, that's not too bad of a growth. When people are moving here from all across the country to come here and to plug in, something's got to be right. When all of a sudden now Lone Star Baptist College is being known in different sections of America, and now pastors are looking at this place and saying, hey, listen, that's a place I like to send my personal child to receive training. Something good is about to happen. Oh, you think about all the things that God is doing. Hey, listen, I remember Brother Butler. Can I tell, where are you at, Doc? Wave at me. Brother Butler said, man, I tell you what, I want to get in on the, did you say this or not? I want to get in when it's small, and when I just want to get in at the foundation when it's beginning to take off. And I'm just excited. And to those of you that was here, are you listening to me? He didn't see the great things that happened under Dr. May and stuff like that. But what he saw is, hey, God can do some things, and it's going to be a neat thing, and I want to get in on it. And by the way, that's a good thing to want to get in on. Now watch this, if you will. And so, boy, I see the day when the balconies are full, and then we got to run those AM services and run afternoon services. And I'm thinking, boy, it'd be great to be able to build a 2,000 or 3,000 seat auditorium out back there and have a 3-story educational wing out here and add more Sunday school classes. And then maybe later on be able to do some more things right here on property. And we need dorms, and kids are going to be coming. Hundreds of kids will come here in the future. You wait and you see, hundreds of kids are going to come here for training from all over America to come to Lone Star Baptist College to get training so that they can go out and accomplish great things for God. Hey, I'm not talking about if it will happen. I'm talking about when it will happen. And because of that, we have to be ready. We have to sit up and we have to say, I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. I can see what God is going to do. We don't have a small God. We've got a big God tonight. And because of that, God can do big things. Now, wait a minute. You think about this. Statement number 7. Your dream, your vision must include several things. Number 1, it must include character. Has to include character. You know, for a person to say, I think that God is really going to give me his power, but you never spend time fasting and praying and begging for God's power, you're not going to get God's power. You're not going to have God working through you. For a person to say, I really believe God's going to answer my prayer, but you never pray, God is not going to answer your prayer. For a person to say that I really believe that God will show me the riches of the depths of his word, but you never read it, God is not going to show you the riches and the depth of his word. God's not going to do that. It takes character. It takes a family deciding to go forward. You know what a family is? Let me tell you what a family is. A family, among many other things, is a great support system in your life. You ought to have the liberty and the freedom as a husband to be able to go to a wife and say, I want you to know that I need your prayers because I've got some things going on in my personal life and I need you this hour. You ought to have such a close relationship like that. Hello. You ought to be able to go to your husband one of the couples that's in our church said this, I just want you to know, and they're here tonight, but they said, I just want you to know, and gave testimony. It was on the New Year's Eve fellowship night that we had, and they stood and they gave testimony. The man said, I want you to know that that couple's retreat that you had came at the right time in our life. And I just want to thank you for that couple's retreat. Now look, may I say tonight that it needs to include that family. And what the church is just a big family. That's all it is. Come on. You know, brothers and sisters sometimes don't get along. You know, brothers and sisters sometimes pick on each other. You know, brothers and sisters, are you listening to me? Care enough about each other to pray for each other. They laugh together. They have a good time together. Yeah, that's what church is like. You say, well, I just don't feel like that. Well, then maybe you need to get involved more so that you can get to know people more so you can feel that way. Because the more you get involved with somebody working beside them, the more you get to feel like they are. I mean, come on. If I'm out there hoeing a garden by myself, it's lonely. But if I got five men beside me and I'm hoeing a garden and we start talking, that's called fellowship. For you know what? One of those guys is going to open up and he's going to say, have you ever thought about this? And we begin to talk and philosophize. We get to know each other. How do we do that? By spending time with each other. You know what I love about the team soul winning is I take different people soul winning with me every single Saturday. I get to spend time with our men. Mrs. Wells and I, we go soul winning together and stuff like that on Thursday night. We go visiting together on Thursday night, and that's our time together. Husband and wife, we enjoy it immensely. But on Saturdays at the team soul winning, I have a man that I'll take with me, and we'll go out and we'll knock doors and we'll fellowship and we'll go out to eat together and we'll just have a great time together. Then on Saturday afternoon, I'll get a different man, and we'll go out for about 2 or 3 hours, and we just have a great time together. Come on. Did you know that a family, when you get involved in a family, you begin to understand about that family. But you have to get involved with them. Wait a minute, watch this, if you will. What is it to be able to have somebody included in that dream? It takes character, it takes family, it takes accomplishment. Accomplishment. You accomplish little things in your life. Here a little, there a little. You keep growing little by little by little, but there's got to be those accomplishments. Let me hurry. There has to be influence. When you accomplish a dream for God, you influence. And by the way, if we were trying to move a car, we went out and we said that, okay, Brother Tomley's car, we went out and we said, Brother Tomley's car is in the way and we're going to teach him a lesson. We're going to hide his car. We did that in Bible college. This guy kept parking in the wrong spot. And we said, we'll teach him a lesson. We'll move his car. We got six guys around that car, had one of those little beetle bugs. And we got six guys around that car. We moved that thing. He came out looking for his car. Somebody stole the car. We said it was the car rapture. Man, he just went, you know. Right, now, wait a minute. Watch this. But did you know there's no way I could have moved that by myself? We had a guy in Bible college named Brian Shipton. He was about as big as the car. And he could have moved it himself, but I couldn't have moved it myself. I mean, this guy's a big fella. All right, now, wait a minute. Watch this, Will. I'm saying this. I'm saying it's very, very important that we understand there's got to be that influence. That influence. There's got to be satisfaction. Nobody will continue unless they're satisfied. I spoke at Brother Passon's sister, Virginia, went home to be with the Lord. And I love Brother Passon. Brother Passon was led to the Lord by Mrs. Palmore, becoming faithful. I mean, just faithful as can be, and I love him. And you know, I spoke just a couple of days ago at his sister's funeral, and I went up to him, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't care what anybody else thought. I did not care what anybody else thought. I wasn't at that funeral for anyone but him. And so I went up to him, and I gave him a big old hug, and I said, hey, Doc, I said, was it okay? Was it all right? Oh, he said, preacher, it was just right. That's all I needed. You know, can I tell you something? When you love somebody deeply, you care about them. You care about them. When God places somebody in your heart, and in your heart, are you listening to me now? In your heart, they become a true friend. It doesn't matter if in their heart they accept you as a true friend. But in your heart, when you accept somebody as a true friend, man, you love them, you care about them, you pray for them, you want to be there for them, you want to help, you want to do everything you can if you really care about them. And it doesn't matter if they ever accept you or not. It doesn't matter how they care about you. What is important is that you try to help them, and there's satisfaction there. There's just satisfaction sometimes when I text somebody just to say, I want you to know I love you and I prayed for you today. It's satisfaction to me to be able to express that type of love. It's satisfaction to me to let at least I know that they know how I feel. There's a satisfaction there. Wait a minute, watch this when I'm done. Let me give you just three types of people that are visionaries, and I'm done tonight. Here it is, and I'm done. Very simple, very quick, very short. I promise, only five illustrations to back up each one. Statement number one, those who cannot see the vision. You know, when you present a vision, there's going to be people that say, I can't see it. I don't see how it could happen. I don't see no way it could become that which is done. They just can't see it. They can't see the vision. That is a visionary type of person, number one. Statement number two, there is that person that says, I can see it, but I don't think it'll ever be accomplished. I can see that he's got a dream for this, but I don't see how it'll ever be done. I mean, after all, look at him, look at them, look at that, look at it, and they just can't see how it'd be done. Well, isn't it good that God is the one that helps to perform the task? Wait a minute. And so there are those that can't see it. There are those that can see it, but they don't think it'll ever be done. And then statement number three, and you guessed it, there are those that can see it and help to accomplish it. They can see it. They say, look, I'm going to do my part to make it happen. And not everybody is capable of doing the same part. You know, God has placed you where God has placed you because God expects you to do your part. You can't do the part of anybody else, and nobody else can do your part. You know what that means? That means that God thinks that you're very special, and that's why God placed you where he placed you. Because nobody can do what you do. Nobody can accomplish what you can accomplish. Now, don't run from that. You run to that. Don't disagree with God that God knew or did not know what he was doing. We have no right to look at God and say, I'm not sure if you knew what you were doing. God, you know, could you really rethink that? God didn't have to rethink anything. Look, when I came to Texas, I didn't check out everything. All I knew was this. I knew that I came down, God spoke to my heart, and I said, that's it. I know it's it. That's all I needed to know. I know it's it. Now, had I checked out the weather? Had I checked out the terrain? Had I checked out individuals? Had I checked out community? Hello? No. Here's what I knew. I knew I was totally yielded to God. That's what I knew. I knew God said, I want you there. I knew that. I don't have a right to rethink God, and I don't. I find myself happily serving God every day of my life. I'm driving down the road, and I'm saying, thank God I live where I live. I'm saying, thank God I'm the pastor of where I'm a pastor. Now, because of that, I never look back and question what God has done. I know that God has put me here, and I know that God is keeping me here, and I'm excited about all that God is going to do here. And because of that, I just dig in and say, look, man, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to give it all my ability. I'm going to give it all my strength. I'm going to give it all my energy. I'm going to give it all my intelligence. I'm going to give it all my spirituality. I'm going to give it everything that I've got inside of me. And I've got a lot to give. And I can push and I can go and I can reach and I can help and I can love. And to the satisfaction of being obedient to God, I'll reach out and do that and keep doing that. Why? Because I know this is where God has put me. And when you settle that, have you ever seen the church jumper? Have you ever? Well, I'll go here and then I'll go here and I'll go here and I'll go here. You know what happens? Let me tell you a fallacy of that. Can I help you a little bit? Over here they prepare a certain diet for you. They knew you were coming. Then over here they think you need this. Have you ever gone to two different dietitians? And both of them have your best interest at heart, but they place you on two separate plans, and they're totally in contrast to each other. Hello? Have you ever gone and joined two different type of, teams, and you have one coach that tells you this and another coach that tells you this? Have you ever had two different ones that you go for instruction about where to do your investments, and this guy says, no, you need to do it here, and this guy said, don't do it there. You need to do it here. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying here, when you learn to eat under the same table, then you're able to get all that God has for you. But you don't go shopping around saying, well, I feel more comfortable there. What you feel more comfortable is not where necessarily God can use you the most. We don't base things on a comfort zone. If so, no missionary would ever go to a mission field. Well, I'm going to go to that mission field because it's comfortable. Well, what about the people that's not in that mission field that God first spoke to your heart about? What about those people? Hello. See, what we have to do is we have to decide, okay, God, you have given the vision. You have planted me here. This is where you've got me. So here's what I'm going to do. Okay, come on. Come on. So now you're married. And you say, well, she's just not who I thought she would be. If I knew she would have been this way, I never would have married her. Tough. You are stuck, Bubba. Enjoy it. Make the best of it. Learn to have fun in it. Hello. If you would resolve tonight this one thing, God, you put me here. And God, I'm not just going to make the best of it. I'm going to make the most of it. And let God use you in 2012 more than he ever used you in 2011. And we go forward as a church family together. We could be amazed at what God could do.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.